Well, welcome to the next Singing and Slaying podcast. My name is Peter Jones. I am pastor of Christ Church in Morgantown, West Virginia. Excuse me. And today I want to talk about some of this lesbian gay legislation that's been bouncing around from state to state. We have three specific examples of this, and I want to kind of bring those together and discuss what that means and some things that we as Christians can learn from these particular states and what they're doing. Three things have happened pretty rapidly over the last couple of weeks. First, you had Georgia try to pass an anti-lesbian and gay legislation. This got through the state legislature, but was ultimately vetoed by the governor because of economic sanctions, threats of economic sanctions from companies like Disney and other companies like that. Then you had North Carolina, which passed a law which basically says men cannot use women's restrooms. This seems like common sense, seems like something that would make perfect sense in the world even 10 years ago. And now it's considered discrimination, and PayPal has decided to move to not build a facility in North Carolina that would have brought 400 jobs to that state. And then you have the state of Mississippi, which passed the legislation, and the governor signed this one into law, which basically allowed Christians to exercise their religious freedom and deny services to gay couples and different things like that. A lot of this was already on the books, by the way. Certain things were already on the books. For example, an NPR article I read said that someone who's renting out rooms can refuse services to a couple that's not married. So there was a lot of legislation like this already on the books. Basically, this was designed to protect business owners so they were not liable to the federal government for fines and things of that sort. So it's really the way to protect business owners. And it does force business owners, especially those who would provide marriage certificates, to have someone in the office do it. It just means the Christian doesn't have to do it. So if you go into a clerk's office and you're a gay couple and you want to get married in the city and there's a Christian behind the counter, the Christian could say no, but the guy down the line who's not a Christian, there has to be someone in the office who can do it. So really no services are technically being denied here except you want to, unless you're talking about wedding services, Christian wedding services such as photography and cakes and things like that. Christians do not have to perform those types of services. All right. All of these have been come under a lot of scrutiny from the media, as you might expect. All the different laws, and like I said, the one in Georgia was derailed, and the governor ultimately vetoed it. And you can read about these. You just Google them and search them online. I'm sure you know Fox News or whatever your news source is. Not that Fox News is that great, but whatever your news source is, go to it and you can look at it. But I want to draw in a few sort of points or conclusions or thoughts from these three particular sort of legislative sessions or problems that have occurred in these states. First, I think we've got to understand that when we oppose the homosexual agenda, what they're going to attack is money and reputation. That is what they are going to attack. And you see that specifically in Georgia, where Disney said, we are going to withdraw. We're going to take our money and go someplace else. Now, of course, they're free to do that, and we as Christians should be, in a sense, fine with that. That is the freedom we want to give that they don't want to give to us. And you see that in North Carolina also with the PayPal thing, what PayPal's like. It's funny, PayPal, of course, does business in all sorts of terrible countries, Russia and places like that. But they, for some reason, can't do business in North Carolina, where it's been said that we don't want men and women's restrooms. But for us as Christians, what we need to understand is they're going to attack our money and our reputation. And if we hold our money more dear than the truth of God's word, if we hold our reputation more dear than the truth of God's word, then we're ultimately going to compromise. So this is something we've got to consider as churches and as employees and as business owners. They're going to come and they're going to say, we're going to take your money. And they're going to slander us in newspapers. They're going to slander us on the internet. They're going to say bad things about us. And your name is going to be drugged through the mud. And if you like your name more than you love Jesus and love his word, then you're ultimately going to bend over for it. So just something for us as Christians to think about. And Jesus said in Matthew 6 that you can't love mammon and love him. And this is true, especially of this age that we live in, age filled with mammon, an age filled with money, an age filled with love of money, and Christians are not immune to this. If we love our money too much, then when it comes to this sort of situation where there's a clear line in the sand, and we have to make a clear choice, we're ultimately going to compromise. So really what for us as Christians is being asked right now, do we love Christ and love his word more than we love our bank accounts and love our good name in the world? And I think for a lot of people, it's not. We don't want to be talked about negatively on the internet. We don't want memes made about us or people to make fun of us. We don't want the local newspaper to write editorials against our churches and against our organizations. I live in a university town. We don't want the university thinking negatively on us. But if that's our approach, and our approach is that we love the truth and we love Jesus and we love these people enough to tell them the truth, then we're ultimately going to be in trouble. And you see that with Georgia, where the governor vetoed the law because he was afraid of losing money. Second thing I would say is there is no tolerance. And this is something that's been said over and over again, and it's just the absolute truth. There is only one acceptable viewpoint, and it is the one that any type of sexual expression is okay. It doesn't matter who you are or what you're doing, as long as it's consensual, it's fine. And there is no other option. Yeah, you will get in line and you will believe this, or we will make you pay. And this is why the federal government is really one of the primary tools being used to cram this down our throats, along with media and things like that. Because the federal government has the power to force this upon us, So understand that they're not going to ask us in around the table and say, okay, well, let's talk about this, let's discuss this, and let's try to find a way to get our viewpoints to work together. That's not the way it's going to work. You believe what we say, or we get rid of you. We're done with you. That's the way it's going to work, and that's the way the homosexual agenda has worked from the beginning, and that's the goal. Whether it's universities, whether it's high schools, whether it's middle schools, whether it's kindergarten, whether it's our churches, our publishing houses, they're going to tell us, do what we say, and that's the way it's going to work. So again, we're going to have to decide what we want to do with that. Are we going to stand up or not? Third, it seems like voting and local elections is becoming more and more important. It used to be, I'm almost 40, and there's been I've voted in a lot of elections, and you feel like with the local elections are kind of irrelevant. You know, one of the big things, the president, the senators, and the representatives that go to Congress and those sort of things. But as more and more states and cities pass laws opposing federal legislation, we're able to see over and over again how important it is who we vote in as governor, who we vote into our state legislatures. There were several things passed in the West Virginia state legislature this year that were real positive, and that's because of some of the votes and the changes we've made in the past. And so imagine if Georgia had a different governor like the governor of Mississippi, who would stand his ground and not keel over. So who we vote in locally matters more and more, not just state, but even mayor and city council, things like that, because we're going to have to stand up to the federal government at the local level and the state level more and more. So I encourage you, get involved in your local elections. Find ways to get people in office who will oppose the tyranny and oppose the sexual revolution, and will give Christians the freedom to operate in the way they think the Bible teaches, the way the Bible teaches. So those local elections are really, really important, and I believe become more and more important as the states stand up to the federal government. And the last thing I would say about this is there's just a clear line in the sand here with the sexual revolution. In the early church, they were asked, the Christians were asked, do you believe that Caesar is Lord? And they would have to say, well, no, I believe that Jesus is Lord. And often this simple question would send them to their death. If you didn't say Caesar was Lord, then you could be sent to your death. There were other things going on there as well, but that was one of the main things. Well, now it's not so much do you believe a certain thing about a man, but do you believe a certain action is correct? Do you believe that homosexuality is okay? Is it a good way of sexual expression? Is it a fine way to live? Do you believe that men can identify as women and should be able to use the women's restrooms? I mean, this is nuts stuff. This is crazy stuff. But these are the lines in the sand. And for us as Christians, the great thing about it is it's plain and clear. Are we going to stand there and hold our ground and say, no, this is what the scriptures teach, and this is what we're going to believe, and this is what we're going to stand on, or are we going to compromise? And this isn't going to be, they're not going to allow us to be silent. Al Mohler wrote a great book, We Cannot Be Silent. They're not going to allow us to be silent. They're not going to stand there and just let us live. And that's the tolerance thing I talked about earlier. They're not going to live and let live. They're going to come in and they're going to ask you, do you think this is okay? And when you say no, they're going to smash you. Do you think it's okay for men to sleep with men and for women to sleep with women? Do you think, and it goes, it's going to keep getting worse and worse and worse with that. Whether you're talking about having multiple wives, whether you're talking about bestiality, or whether you're talking about sexual identity, gender identity. And they're going to come in, they're going to ask pastors, and they're going to ask, and there's going to be employees, there's going to be, especially those working in government jobs, but also those working at universities and places like that, they're going to bring you in, they're going to say, hey, do you think this is okay? Do you think it's okay for men to sleep with men? And when you say no, you're going to be fired, you're not going to be given the job. They're going to come ask pastors, do you think this is okay? And when you say no, they're going to remove your tax-exempt status, and they're going to slander your church on the internet and in newspaper. So the great thing about this is that we can make a clear witness to the truth of God's word. This is what was so great about the early church. They were able to convince the world by their ferocity and their courage in the face of persecution of the truth of Christianity and the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that ultimately won the day. Now, it took a while. It took a lot of pain, and a lot of people suffered for it. And we should expect the same. But the nice thing is there's a clear line in the sand right now. There's not this, in the past, sometimes the battle lines were fuzzy. There's no fuzzy battle lines here. It's clear. This is where it's going to stand, and this is where it's going to be. The sexual revolution is where the battle is being fought. That includes marriage. That includes children. That includes fornication. That includes adultery, divorce, homosexuality, bestiality, pedophilia. All those are the areas where the battle is going to be fought. And we as Christians are going to be forced to make clear statements on this. And I especially encourage pastors, those of us who stand in the pulpit week after week. You don't have to do it every week, obviously. It's not something you need to bring up or ride as a hobby horse. But it's something you need to say. And it's something you need to speak. It's something you need to talk about very frequently. The world is very confused on this issue, to say the least. And so we need to stand up and be clear. We will pay for it. In due time, we will pay for it. I have a feeling our country is ultimately not going to go the way of Mississippi, where there's going to be freedom. Ultimately, it's going to be bondage. And whenever there's bondage and tyranny, people suffer. And as Christians, we're going to suffer. But that's okay, because we have the truth and we have Jesus Christ. And ultimately, that will win out, even if it's not in our generation. So I would just encourage us as Christians to be clear-headed about this, to not be afraid of it. Those of us who are in positions of authority in the Christian church, to be bold and courageous, but winsome, not mean and cruel, not encouraging meanness, being cruel to people or anything like that, but just standing firm, standing our ground, not compromising. And if we do that, ultimately, then the truth will come out. So it's very interesting watching these things unfold in Mississippi, North Carolina, Georgia. We'll see more and more of this, I believe, over the coming years as states try to find ways to oppose the federal government's tyranny. As Christians, we need to prepare to jump in where we need to, local elections, stand our ground, be willing to lose our money and reputation for the truth. We need to understand that that's what's going to happen and be faithful to Jesus Christ. Well, thanks for joining me and have a good day.